Julia had been having an interesting time. Fed up with being ignored by everybody, she'd wandered off on her own to see what there was to see. She hadn't got far before being intercepted by a delicately pretty lady-in-waiting in her late 30s and a bored-looking young guardsman.
Lady Cecilia.
Princess Julia.
A princess, you say? Dressed like that?
Lady Cecilia glanced at Julia's battered leather jerkin and trousers. Julia took in Lady Cecilia's ornate gown with a sinking heart. Intricately stitched and studded with hundreds of semi-precious stones, the shaped and padded gown covered the lady from shoulder to ankle and was so heavy she could move only in little mincing steps. The massive flared cuffs were wide enough to swallow a small dog, and the bulging cleavage was at least partly supported by the ribbed corset responsible for the lady's tiny waist. The Lady Cecilia looked rich, aristocratic, and gorgeous, and she knew it.
And you're a princess from... where, precisely?
Hillsdown.
Hillsdown? Possibly I'm mistaken, dear, but I always thought Hillsdown was a duchy. And strictly speaking, a duchy isn't entitled to have princesses. Still, country titles aren't like the real thing, are they? I mean, they don't count for anything in polite society.
Tell me, how do you breathe in that thing?
Daintily. It is the sign of a proper lady.
Yeah? Everybody dressed like this around here?
Anybody who is anybody? Surely even country gentry know high fashion when they see it.
Oh, it's fashion. I never had any use for it.
Apparently. You arrived with young Rupert, I believe?
That's right. Do you know him?
Oh, everyone knows Rupert.
Did I say something funny?
Rupert, my dear, is a prince in name only. He'll never inherit the throne. That falls to his elder brother, Prince Harold. Ah, dear Harold, now there is a prince. Tall, handsome, charming, and a devil on the dance floor. And when it comes to the ladies, oh, my dear, the tales I could tell you about Harold.
Never mind Harold. Tell me about Rupert.
Prince Rupert is no earthly use to anybody. He can't dance or sing or write poetry, and he has absolutely no idea how to treat a lady.
Right. And he still rides a unicorn.
He is simply not a real man. Not like my Gregory.
Not like me at all. Observe these muscles.
Oh, Gregory, you are such a man. Not like Rupert. Rupert is a dull, boring...
spineless little creep. Lady Cecilia, are you all right? You punched her! You are a brutal...
Yes!
Rupert watched in amazement as the guard sank beside the lady-in-waiting, who stretched her length on the courtyard floor.
That's where Julia is.
Oh, no!
We're under attack!
Oh, shut it!
Rupert kicked the man's feet out from under him and set his sword point at the guard's throat.
Nice moves. You've improved, sire.
Thank you. Keep an eye on this clown while I take care of Julia.
He sheathed his sword and hurried over just in time to stop Julia slamming a boot into the Lady Cecilia.
Julia, not here! Please, come with me to the court and meet my father. There are lots of people there you can hit. I'll be happy to point them out to you. But don't waste your spleen on amateurs like these. The real creeps wouldn't be seen dead outside the court.
Well, fine. Lead the way.
I suppose they insulted you?
Something like that.
Ah, forget about it. I'm sure they won't do it again.
Never.
Sire, princess, if you will allow me, Princess Julia, the court is this way.
Gladly. See you later.
Julia inclined her head regally, accepted the champion's proffered arm, and allowed him to assist her up the steps to the entrance hall. The four guardsmen followed at a discreet distance. Rupert turned to the dragon and the unicorn.
I thought the escort was for you.
Hardly. Well, don't just stand there. Come with me to see the king.
What, you want the both of us?
Damn right. I'm going to need all the support I can get. Now let's go and look after Julia, before she kills someone.
Rupert paced impatiently up and down the court's narrow antechamber, shooting seething glances at the securely locked double doors that led into the great hall itself. The champion had gone in first to inform the king that his son had finally arrived, and then, as so many times before, the ancient doors had been slammed in Rupert's face. Once again, the court was busy deciding his future. Whatever they wanted, the answer would be no, he decided. He stopped pacing and listened at the doors. A constant hubbub seeped through the solid wood, indicating that most of the court were still present, despite the late hour. Rupert grinned. Courtiers hated having to work late. It interfered with the important things of life, like hunting, drinking, and wenching. Rupert stretched slowly and thought longingly of the deep mattressed bed waiting for him in his room. But, tired as he was, he knew he wouldn't be able to sleep until he'd discovered what new deviltry the king and his court had come up with. He sat in one of the exquisitely uncomfortable chairs provided and looked to see what his friends were doing. Julia was sitting in her own seat, looking just bored enough to do something stupid. The dragon was lying partly in the antechamber and partly in the outer hall. He was practicing blowing smoke rings from his nostrils and chewing absently at a centuries-old tapestry Rupert had never liked very much anyway. The unicorn was...
Unicorn?
Sorry.
Couldn't you have done that before you came in?
I get nervous inside strange buildings, you know that. I keep thinking the roof's gonna fall in on me.
Rupert shook his head and looked back at the closed double doors. How many times had he stood before those doors, waiting for permission to speak to his own father? His mind drifted back through yesterday and found nothing pleasant there. Born 7 years after his brother, Rupert had been a surprise to everyone, and bad news to most. A king needed a second son as insurance in case something happened to the first, but two healthy adult sons meant nothing but trouble. Rupert had known that from an early age. Everyone had taken great pains to make it clear to him. He scowled as memories crept out of the shadows. The tutors, who beat him for being brighter than his favored elder brother. His instructors at arms, who beat him for not being as strong as his brother. The courtiers, who flattered or insulted him according to the fashion. The barons, who intrigued in his name. And the champion, whose cold, dark eyes were full of death. Foxfire moss glowed steadily in several lamps hanging from the low ceiling, but the antechamber was still full of shadows, as though darkness had followed him into the castle. Out in the forest, it had all seemed so simple and straightforward. He had to go back to the castle because the forest land needed him. He smiled bitterly. The forest didn't need him. It never had. The only people who'd ever needed him were Julia, the dragon, and the unicorn, his friends. Rupert's smile softened at the thought, and he rolled it back and forth in his mind, savoring it. He'd never had friends before. His position had kept him apart from other children, and his family. His mother died when he was 5 years old. His brother insulted and tormented him, and his father sent him out on a quest to die. Rupert shook his head to clear it. He'd passed through the dark wood twice, fought off demons, and called down a rainbow. Stuff his father, stuff the court, and stuff the bloody champion. They'd tried to get rid of him, and it hadn't worked. He was back, and they could like it or lump it.
How much longer?
I don't know. They like to keep me waiting. It helps put me in my place.
And you put up with that?
Yes, well, I always used to. But things have changed since then. Dragon?
Yes, Rupert?
See those double doors?
Yes, Rupert.
See how many matchsticks you can make out of them.
The dragon studied the doors a moment, and then grinned broadly. He surged to his feet and reached out to push the doors with one clawed hand.
All right. This shouldn't be too hard.
He backed carefully out of the narrow antechamber and turned himself around in the hall outside. Rupert, Julia, and the unicorn squeezed themselves into a far corner as the dragon cautiously introduced his rear end into the antechamber. He peered over his shoulder to check that his friends were safely out of the line of fire, and then lashed out with a vicious swing of his tail.
Very good, dragon.
My pleasure.
Rupert looked about him. Several hundred assorted courtiers and ladies-in-waiting stared back with a fair mixture of fear, outrage, and curiosity. Half 100 foxfire lamps shed their silver glow across the court, while at the far end of the vast, spacious hall, the last of the evening light fell through gorgeous stained glass windows onto a massive throne set high on a raised dais and carved in its entirety from a single block of oak. Sitting on that throne, unruffled and unmoved, was his father, King John IV. The king's great leonine head seemed almost too heavy for his body, and his richly patterned robes and proud golden crown couldn't disguise the ragged mop of gray hair and uncombed beard. Even on his better days, Rupert's father still looked like he'd been dragged through a hedge backwards. And yet, despite the strong impression of age and tiredness that hung about him like an old familiar cloak, King John carried himself with dignity, and his deep-set eyes were calm and steady. At his side stood Thomas Gray, the court astrologer. Tall, broad-shouldered, and darkly handsome, the black-clad magician had every regal aspect save the barest essential, noble birth. Born the son of a blacksmith, he'd been the king's companion since childhood, and on John's ascension to the throne, Thomas Gray had cut short a promising career at the Sorcerer's Academy to return and stand at his friend's side. Rupert disliked the man intensely. He smiled too much.
Usher, please don't just stand there. Announce us.
I think they know we're here, Rupert.
That's not the point, Julia. We have to be announced.
I have absolutely no intention of announcing you. You can't come barging in here and... A dragon. Announcing you right away, sire. Prince Rupert of the Forest Kingdom, second in line to the Forest Throne, defender of the weak, warrior of the realm, and collector of lesser taxes, and friends.
Rupert, dear fellow, so good to see you back safe and well.
Rupert turned to see an aisle open up in the courtiers as his brother Harold came striding confidently forward to greet him. Tall, classically handsome, and loaded with muscle, Harold looked every inch a hero out of legend, and he knew it.
You're looking rather weathered, brother. Sorry, didn't mean to clap you so hard. Well, interesting dragon you've brought us, dear boy. But you're supposed to kill them first, you know.
You're welcome to try.
Please, do.
Perhaps later. Ah, but at least your taste in women has improved. Aren't you going to introduce us?
I have a feeling one of us is going to regret this. Princess Julia of Hillsdown, may I present my brother, Prince Harold of the Forest Kingdom.
Hello, Harold. I hope not everything that's been said about you... Oh!
You!
You horrid little...
Julia, down!
Just let me at him! I'll show you how to treat...
Julia, what's the matter? Can't you get on with anyone?
Let me go! It's him!
I know it's him. I introduced you, remember?
Oh, you don't understand. Let me go!
Are you going to calm yourself?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes. Now let me go.
Right. Now, what in the world is going on here?
Oh, you don't understand. He's the prince I was supposed to marry, the one I ran away from.
He's... Why didn't you say something earlier, Julia?
I never knew his name, Rupert. They never told me. I was promised in marriage when I was still a child. The ceremony was supposed to take place once I came of age. Your father and mine exchanged rings of engraved white gold as a token of the arrangement. I've worn mine ever since I was 4 years old. Harold is still wearing his. I saw it on his hand. It bears exactly the same design as mine.
The ring? Harold, is that right? You're supposed to marry her.
Well, yes, dear boy, at least I was, but...
But what?
Well, she did run away, after all. That being the case, Father quite naturally arranged another marriage for me, with one of the Baron's daughters. Nice little filly. Damn fine dowry and outstanding political connections. Now, thanks to you,
yes,
we have to...
thanks to you, Rupert, since the contract with the Duchy of Hillsdown still stands, technically, the original marriage will have to take place after all. Any other disastrous news you'd like to share with us?
Give me a moment, Father. I'm sure I can think of something.
Harold stalked off to have several quiet words with the king, while Rupert did his best to mollify the fuming Julia.
I'm not marrying him. I'll enter a nunnery first.
You won't have to marry him. I'll sort something out.
Right. So, he's your brother. What's he like?
Rich, obviously good-looking, and successful with women. Three good reasons to hate anyone. Harold, however, is also a pompous, meticulous, occasionally hard-working twit who thinks fun should be outlawed for everyone not actually of noble birth. When I was a boy, he made my life hell. I still have some of the scars. Basically, he's a hard-headed, ruthless creep who will make a great king.
Your average prince.
Exactly.
The court, meantime, had finally gathered its collective wits. Rupert's return alone would have provided the courtiers with enough gossip to last out the year, but his dramatic entrance via an exploding doorway was an unexpected bonus. The arrival of Julia and the dragon had sent them into a positive frenzy of speculation, though as yet nobody had quite worked up the nerve, formally, to introduce themselves to either the dragon or the princess.
Prince Rupert, Princess Julia, approach the throne.
Rupert did so, followed by Julia. The astrologer stood to the king's left, Harold to his right. They both bowed politely to Julia, who ignored them. The king stared silently at Rupert for some time.
Rupert, can't you do anything right?
Not much. Sorry I couldn't oblige you by getting killed during the quest.
I was referring to the dragon.
Sure you were.
I did what was best, son.
You mean what the astrologer told you was best?
I advised the king to the best of my poor ability. We both felt a successful quest might do much to help your standing in this court. A prince who had slain a dragon would, at the very least, be somewhat easier to arrange a marriage for.
What's the matter? Still a glut of second sons on the market?
Sir, I do not...
Hold on. Rupert, what happened to the unicorn's horn?
He lost it in a fight.
Careless of him.
Harold, why don't you start thinking about what you'd like to eat at your wedding? You know, debate isn't your strong point.
Neither is thinking.
At least he would have had more sense than to bring back a live dragon, or a princess we were well rid of. Now we'll have to go through with the damn marriage, or Hillsdown will break off diplomatic relations.
I'm not marrying Harold.
You will do as you're told. Or you can spend the time until your wedding day in the dirtiest, most dismal dungeon I can find.
You... He... I... Rupert, are you going to let him talk to me like that?
He's my father.
It's not the end of the world, Your Highness. There's no need to rush things. After all, the marriage needn't take place immediately. I'm sure that once you've got to know Harold, you'll find him a decent, upstanding young man who'll make you a fine husband. And remember, he will be king one day.
If there's a kingdom left.
Champion, I see you're still good at sneaking up on people.
One of my most useful talents. Your Majesty, we do have a serious problem to discuss. The Darkwood...
The Darkwood can wait a minute. I haven't finished with Rupert yet. Rupert, you were supposed to bring back the valuable parts of a dead dragon, and at least some of his hoard. Haven't you brought back any gold?
No, there wasn't any.
What about the dragon's hoard?
He collects butterflies.
Only you, Rupert. Only you.
Haven't you brought back anything of value?
Just this. It came to me during my quest.
It has a strong magical aura. What does it do?
It summons rainbows.
All right, let's talk about the Darkwood. Suddenly it seems a preferable topic of conversation.
Suits me.
Time is running out, Your Majesty. We've already lost three of the outlying villages to the demons, and every day more of the forest falls under the shadow of the Long Night. The trees are dying, and rivers are fouled with blood. Babes are stillborn, and crops rot before they can be harvested. Demons run ahead of the Darkwood, slaughtering all in their path. My men are dying out there, just to buy us a little more time. I respectfully beg your permission to levy the barons and raise an army. We must make a stand against the darkness, while we still can.
So you keep telling me. But you know as well as I that the barons won't supply me with men for an army, for fear I'd use it against them. The way they've been acting lately, I just might. No, Sir Champion, an army is out of the question.
I must have more men, Your Majesty.
The Royal Guard can supply...
They aren't enough for what needs to be done.
They'll have to be. All my other guards and men-at-arms are scattered across the kingdom, protecting my people and keeping the roads open. Shall I recall them to build you an army and leave the villages and towns to be overrun by the darkness?
If need be. You don't cure a disease by treating its symptoms. The demons are born of darkness. The only way to stop the Long Night spreading is to lead an army into the Dark Wood and destroy its heart.
Rupert's stomach turned suddenly as he realized what the champion was saying. If the guardsmen were recalled, that would leave the villages unprotected, and the demons would roll right over them. A cold sweat beaded his brow as he remembered leaping, clawing demon kind surging into the Darkwood clearing where he and Julia stood back to back, swords in hand. He remembered waiting to die and hoping it would be quick. The demons were of the dark and knew nothing of honor or mercy. Villagers, armed with scythes and pitchforks, wouldn't stand a chance against the darkling tide that swarmed ahead of the Darkwood. Blood would fly on the night air, and the screams would last till morning.
No!
Pardon?
I mean, there has to be another way.
There is. When might of arms is not enough, there is still magic.
Same old song, astrologer. All your prophecies and illusions won't rid us of the Darkwood. Sooner or later, it always comes down to cold steel.
You talk as if the dark were some wild animal, to be dispatched with sword and lance. Darkness can only be dispelled by light. White magic against black, reason against ignorance. Send an army into the Dark Wood, and you'll never see it again.
Your Majesty!
Rupert turned to look as a short, fat man in gorgeous, gravy-stained robes pushed his way through the nearest courtiers. Sharp, piggy eyes peered from under plucked eyebrows, and his rouged mouth was pursed in a constant scowl. He stopped opposite the champion and bowed perfunctorily to the throne.
Your Majesty, as Minister for War, I really must protest.
All right, you've protested. Now beat it, we've got work to do.
Whether you approve or not, Sir Champion, I am the King's Minister for War. I've just been in such an insolent fashion again, and I'll have you flogged.
You'll have to get past my sword first.
Sir Champion, draw on one of my ministers, and I'll have your head.
He insulted me, Your Majesty.
You insulted my minister. An insult to him is an insult to me. Is that clear?
Of course, Your Majesty. I live only to serve you.
If you have something to contribute to the discussion, Lord Darius, by all means do so.
Your Majesty is most gracious. It seems to me that both Sir Champion and the astrologer have overlooked the most obvious answer to our present difficulties. Since neither force of arms nor magic can hope to stand against the Darkwood, we must clearly fall back upon the one remaining course of action. Diplomacy.
What? Clearly the man's insane. Talk with demons? You might as well argue with a thunderstorm. Demons kill to live and live to kill.
For once, I agree with Sir Champion. The Darkwood is the incarnation of darkness upon the earth. All that thrives within it is evil. Demons are not living creatures such as we are. They exist only to serve the Darkwood.
They don't serve just the Darkwood.
You can't be serious.
How else do you explain the Darkwood's sudden growth? There's only one possible answer. The Demon Prince has returned.
It's a legend. A ghost tale for children.
Some legends are true.
Men have struck deals with the Demon Prince before. Why else would demons haunt the castle grounds night after night, so far from the Darkwood? They're waiting for us to go to them and make a compact.
I'll strike no bargains with the dark.
But what if we give the Demon Prince what he desires?
What do you suggest, Minister? That I surrender the villages to him in the hope he'll spare this castle?
Why not? As Sir Champion has already pointed out, what are the lives of a few peasants against the security of the Forest Kingdom?
This is madness. I meant we should fight the darkness, not surrender to it. Set a blood sacrifice for the Demon Prince and we'll never be free of him.
Such a plan would destroy us all. We either stand against the darkness or fall beneath it.
Your Majesty, as Minister for War, I must protest.
Shut up!
Thank you, Rupert. It was getting a little noisy. According to the champion, you passed through the Darkwood on your quest.
Twice.
Oh, come now, Rupert. Surely you don't expect us to believe you passed through the Darkwood twice. Even with the dragon in your party, the demons would have ripped you to pieces.
They tried. We got lucky. Now get your hand off my arm, or I'll feed you your fingers.
Of course, sire. And how many demons did you meet in the Darkwood, Sir Hero? 10? 20?
Too many to count. Demons hunt in packs now.
Nonsense! Everyone knows demons haven't the intelligence to work together. They prey on each other when food grows scarce.
I was there. There were hundreds of the bloody creatures fighting side by side.
Hundreds? Don't waste our time with such obvious lies. You were never in the Darkwood. I've no doubt the Princess Julia was most impressed by your pretty stories, but don't think to deceive us as well. You're a coward and a failure, and everyone here knows it. Now run along and tell your tale to the scullery maids. You've no business...
Not one more move, Rupert.
Are you going to fight the king's son?
And a princess?
You think you're both up to it?
Maybe. You said yourself I'd improved. And Julia's pretty good with a sword, too. Who knows? We might get lucky.
You'll never be that lucky.
Enough! Sir Champion, sheathe your sword. That's an order. Guards, return to your places. I'm in no danger. Rupert, Julia, please put down your swords. You are under my protection in this court, and you have my word you will come to no harm here. Gerald, Neil, help the Minister for War back to his chambers. Now, Rupert...
No, no, and no! No, I will not lead an army into the Darkwood to fight the demons. No, I will not lead a diplomatic party to talk to the demons. And no, I don't have any sense of duty or honor. I think that covers everything.
Sounds about right.
Rupert, I assure you...
Oh, forget it. I don't care what you've got lined up for me. The answer's no. I've done my bit. Let somebody else put their head on the block for a change.
Rupert, if there was anybody else...
There is... Harold.
Hmm? Afraid not, dear boy. I'm needed here. Sorry.
Blow it out your ear, Harold.
Rupert, I quite agree that you've earned a rest. Unfortunately, the task I have for you is both urgent and vital, and it cannot wait. Tomorrow morning...
Tomorrow morning? I've only just got back. Oh, I don't believe this. I've been back in the castle less than an hour, and already you're trying to get rid of me again. What's the bloody rush?
We're running out of time. There's a blue moon rising.
Thomas, there hasn't been a blue moon for centuries. Hey, wait a minute. According to some legends, the first time a blue moon rose, the Darkwood was born.
Indeed. Once in a blue moon, magic is loosed in the world. Wild magic, to create or destroy, strong enough to reshape reality itself on the night the blue moon is full. We have 7 months until that night. 7 months in which to find an answer to the darkness. If we fail, the Darkwood will spread over all that is. Civilization will fall. The long night will have no ending. And the world will belong to the demons.
There must be something we can do.
There is. Prince Rupert, you must journey to the Dark Tower and there summon the High Warlock.
I should have volunteered to lead an army against the Demon Prince. It would have been safer.
But you'll do it.
Of course. You knew that before I came in here.
Wait a minute. What's going on here? Rupert, who is this High Warlock?
A sorcerer. Very powerful and very deadly. Exiled years ago. He doesn't take kindly to visitors.
You don't have to go. You've done enough.
No. Father's right. There is no one else... they can spare.
Then I'm going with you.
Oh, I say. I'm afraid I can't allow that.
Shut your face, creep. I'm going. Right? Rupert?
I can't take you with me, Julia. Not to the Dark Tower. There's no one I'd rather have to guard my back. You know that, but I can't let you risk your life for me again. I have no right. You'll be safe here, as long as you keep Harold at arm's length.
Oh, but...
No, Julia.
It's not fair.
No, it isn't.
Well, Rupert, it seems you and the Princess Julia have grown somewhat fond of each other.
Yes.
She's promised a herald. The contract was signed long ago.
I know my duty. I've always known my duty. That's the only reason I'm going on this mission. And what's more, If I've got to go calling on the High Warlock, I want a full troop of guards to back me up.
They'll be ready for you first thing tomorrow morning.
And I want the champion to lead them.
An honor to ride at your side, sire.
Under my orders.
It's your expedition, Rupert. But I strongly suggest that you listen to the champion's advice at all times.
As long as it is advice.
Of course, sire.
All right. That taken care of. Sir Champion, we start at first light tomorrow. Though how we're going to persuade the High Warlock to come back with us, I don't know.
He's our only hope.
Then you'd better start making white flags.
I don't see any need for further discussion. Court is dismissed!
The courtiers filed slowly out, chattering animatedly as they headed for the gap where the double doors used to be. It took everybody a bit longer than usual to clear out, seeing as everybody was giving the dragon as wide a berth as possible. Rupert turned to Julia, who turned her back on him.
Julia.
We should never have come back to the castle, Rupert.
I did what I thought was best.
I know. It's not your fault.
Julia, look. I didn't save you from the demons just to lose you to my brother. Now let's get out of here. I'm tired and I've got to be up early tomorrow.
Yeah. It's been a long day, hasn't it? Let's go.
Excuse me, but if anyone is to escort the Princess Julia to her chambers, it should be I. I mean to say, damn it, she is my fiancée.
Harold, I am not in the mood for this kind of nonsense. I rarely am in the mood, and take it from me, right now I am less in the mood than ever before, if that's possible. So get out of my way, or I'll feed you a knuckle sandwich. Even worse, I might let Julia do it.
Ooh, can I?
How brave you've grown, little brother. Now you've got a dragon to back you up. Assuming you survive your journey to the Dark Tower, do hurry back. I want you to be the best man at my wedding. I'll see you tomorrow, Julia. We have so much to discuss.
Nice brother you've got there. Really knows how to twist the knife.
Yes. Still, we mustn't be too hard on him. He hasn't got long to live.
Oh? Why not?
Because one of these days I'm going to kill him.
Can I help?
Dragon, how'd you like your first court?
Not bad. Got a little bored near the end. I was eyeing that carpet hanging on the wall. Looks pretty good. Hey, where's the unicorn?
Behind that carpet hanging on the wall! Every time Rupert has to speak to his family, he ends up in a foul temper and he takes it out on me!
Get out of there, unicorn!
Ah, see what I mean?
If you've run out of people to upset, sire, could we perhaps go now? In case it slipped your attention, we haven't eaten since first thing this morning. My stomach thinks my throat's been cut.
Of course. I'll get you all the grass you can eat.
Oh, whoopee. Just my luck, too.
What?
All that effort I put into practicing my limp. Nobody even mentioned it.
King John watched the last of the dragon's tail slither out of the doorway.
Thomas, have a seat. Thomas, doesn't the court seem larger without Rupert's friends in it?
Not to mention quieter.
I like Julia. She's got spirit. And Rupert seems to have developed a powerful right hand.
At least he got that idiot Darius off our backs for a while.
Quite. That's what you get for making ministerships hereditary.
I admit, not one of my better ideas.
Don't yawn, you'll start me off. And there's work to be done yet. At least I assume there is.
Well, I'm afraid so. To start with, we've got to change all the arrangements for Harold's wedding.
As if they weren't costly enough already.
And we've got to work out some way of politely informing Baron Oakshaft that Harold isn't going to marry his daughter after all.
Pity about that. Now the barons will be more trouble than ever. Have we had any taxes from them yet?
Not a penny. They're not going to pay up as long as they think they can get away with it. We can't use the Royal Guard to persuade them until the demons stop attacking us.
And the champion expects them to give me an army.
Politics never was his strong point.
He's loyal to the throne. That's why I made him champion. Do you know, Thomas, after all these years, he still makes me nervous. There's something almost inhuman about unquestioning loyalty. He's killed over 100 men at my command and never once asked why.
When a champion starts asking questions, it's time to get a new champion.
Life wasn't always this complicated. Do you remember when I first came to the throne, Thomas?
Aye, John. It must be all of 35 years since the High Warlock placed that crown on your head. In those days, there was still gold in the coffers. The barons knew their place, and the Darkwood was just a patch of ink on the maps. Little more than a legend.
A long time ago, Thomas. Where did it all start to go wrong? I've done my best down the years, but for every problem I solved, two more sprang up to take its place. When I came to power, the Forest Kingdom was a rich land, a healthy land, a power to be reckoned with. We had such plans, you and I. Now look at us. Two old men fighting our own barons just to hold the land together. We're all that's left of the old order, Thomas. On the day I was crowned, 115 knights bent their knees and made the oath of fealty to me. Where are they now? Dead and gone, all of them. Lost in one stupid little war or another. All my brave knights. Now, chivalry is no longer fashionable, and honor is a thing of the past. Times change, and I've lost the ability to change with them. It's been so long since I could rest, Thomas. So long since I could sleep at night without my troubles invading my dreams. So long since my poor Eleanor died. You know, it's not so much making bad decisions that bothers me. It's just that I spend days on end weighing up the pros and cons, and I still make the wrong decision.
That's why you keep me around, John. I may not be the High Warlock, but my small magics do come in handy now and again.
Indeed they do, Thomas. What would I do without you? 55 isn't old. I'm not as young as I was, but I don't feel old.
Time catches up with all of us eventually.
You seem to be putting up a good fight. Look at you. Your back's as straight and your hair as dark as it was 40 years ago.
I dye my hair.
And you wear a corset.
Only sometimes.
Only when you're chasing a new wench. Man your age should have more dignity.
Ah, every man should have a hobby.
What's the matter with the barons, anyway? They've never been this bad before.
It's the Darkwood, John. Our wealth comes from mines run by the barons. It's their gold and silver and copper that keeps our economy afloat. But since the Darkwood has spread its boundaries, more and more of the mines have fallen to the Long Night. Demons are crawling up out of the pits and spilling into the main workings. Miners are afraid to go down into the dark. Some mines have had to be sealed for fear of what might emerge from the deepest shafts.
I hadn't realized things had got so out of hand.
You can't be expected to keep track of everything, John.
Perhaps if I sent the barons more guards.
No, John. We can't afford to lose any more men. We're thinly enough spread as it is. We can't really spare that troop of guards you're sending with a champion and young Rupert.
I know. But if we didn't let Rupert have them, I really think he wouldn't go.
Yes. Seems he's finally learning.
I'd better bring back the High Warlock. After the mess we've made of things, he's our only hope.
Thin trails of mist curled lazily on the chill morning air as Rupert saddled his unicorn in the courtyard. The dawn sun had barely crept above the horizon, and the sky was still splashed with blood. Not the best of omens for the journey ahead. Rupert grinned tiredly, and then leaned briefly against the patiently waiting unicorn as he fought to keep his eyes open. According to the water clock, he'd had almost 6 hours' sleep, but it seemed he'd barely laid his head on the pillow before a servant was shaking him awake. A lukewarm bath and a cold breakfast hadn't improved his temper, and being studiously ignored by his own troop of guards was the last straw. He closed his eyes a moment and breathed deeply, searching for some kind of calm. There was a long journey ahead of him, with plenty of time for him and his guards to test each other's measure. Assuming they survived long enough. Rupert brushed the thought aside, and then turned and stared casually about him. 50 guardsmen and their mounts milled back and forth in the courtyard, interspersed with hurrying servants and grooms. Flagons of mead and cheap sweetmeats were being warmed over flaring braziers by gaudily clothed hawkers, and here and there small knots of men spoke quietly with hooded priests. The dozen guards were fighting mock duels under the champion's watchful eye. Other guards stood and watched, polished their swords with oiled rags, and practiced looking evil. Rupert found their obvious competence both intimidating and comforting. He pulled his cloak about him to keep warm. His breath steamed on the still morning air. He frowned. It shouldn't be this cold so early in the autumn. The Darkwood must be closer than anyone thought. He let his hand drop to the pommel of his sword. The sooner he got his journey started, the better. And yet he hesitated, watching the dueling guardsmen thrust and parry, their swords flashing brightly in the gloomy courtyard. Sweat glistened on the guards' faces, and their breathing grew harsh as they drove themselves ever harder, searching for the elusive first blood that would decide the duel. Rupert remembered all too clearly the many times he'd fought in this courtyard in the early morning chill. Bitter memories surfaced of standing awkwardly under his tutor's disdainful gaze, wrapped in ill-fitting chainmail and carrying a sword that seemed far too heavy for his skinny arms. His dueling partner had been a lean, muscular guardsman, almost 20 years his senior and many times better than he. Between them, the tutor and the guard slowly turned the young prince into a swordsman. He paid for the knowledge with blood and humiliation. Rupert scowled thoughtfully. He might never be the expert his brother was, but he'd learned tricks in his hard school that were often overlooked in Harold's more standard lessons. Rupert had never given in to the temptation to show off his skill with a sword. Now and again, the two brothers would engage in a formal duel under the champion's critical eye, and Rupert always lost. It was safer that way. As a merely competent fighter, he was no threat to Harold's position, so he suffered the scars and the jeers silently. But he never forgot them. Rupert's mind drifted back from yesterday, and he studied again the straining, grunting guardsmen as they practiced with sword and buckler. He was surprised to find them not nearly as impressive as he'd first thought. They were strong and cunning, but their tactics were limited and their stamina negligible. They were good, but excitement surged through Rupert as he realized that just possibly he was better. Rupert frowned suddenly as he recognized one of his guards, a tall, wiry man with dark, saturnine features. Rob Hawk was a blade master, a swordsman trained to such a point of expertise that he was unbeatable with a sword in his hand. He was also stubborn, crafty, and so insubordinate that only his extremely rare skill with a blade kept him from being expelled from the Royal Guard. Rupert scowled thoughtfully and wondered how many other bad apples the king had landed him with.
Hello, boy.
Oh, Harold. Well, you seem well-dressed for battle. Full chain mail and a buckler. You haven't decided to man up and come with us, have you?
No, I'm afraid I'll do much more good here in the castle. I simply thought you might fancy a little sword practice before you go, just to warm your blood a trifle. Well, what do you say, brother?
It's a setup, Rupert.
You don't think I know that? I'm feeling a spring in my step, Harold. So thank you, brother. I could use the exercise. Unicorn, take my cloak.
I'd love to if I had hands.
Your back. It's on your back. Just don't run off and hide while you still have it.
Are you sure this is a good idea?
No, and I don't care. I'm tired of having to lose just so I'm not seen as a usurper.
Well, watch your back, Rupert.
And you watch my cloak. All right, brother. Like old times, eh?
I seem to have caught you without a shield.
That's all right. I don't need one.
You must have a shield. It must be a fair combat.
Oh, it will be. Now, do you want to talk or fight?
Very well. Let's make this quick.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Rupert came to meet his brother, his trained eyes searching out weaknesses in Harold's stance. Harold was clearly more used to the stylized techniques of the mock duel than the cut and thrust of a blood fight. He'd grown soft, while Rupert's experiences in the Darkwood had honed his skill to a razor's edge. Rupert grinned broadly as all the old bitterness of having to lose to Harold surged through him. This time, Harold was in for a fight he'd remember for the rest of his life.
Ha! 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 Ha!
Harold bent forward over his pain, almost as though bowing to Rupert. Rupert darted back out of range and allowed his brother time to recover from his kick. He'd waited a long time for this victory, and he saw no reason to rush it. Out of the corners of his eyes, Rupert could see money changing hands. He grinned tightly, and then his brother came to meet him again. Harold's sword and shield were ready, but he favored his left leg. Rupert felt a grim laughter stir within him. Harold was already beaten, even if he didn't know it yet. Cold-bloodedly, Rupert set out to prove it. His sword sang through the air as he swung the blade double-handed, and blow by blow, cut by cut, he drove Harold backwards round the circle. Splinters flew from Harold's buckler as Rupert pressed home his attack, his sword flashing past the shield's rim to draw blood from a dozen minor cuts. Harold bobbed and weaved and cut viciously at Rupert's unprotected head and body, but always he was thrown back with fresh blood seeping into his chainmail as Rupert showed him every skill and dirty trick he knew. Rupert was the better fighter, and now he and everybody else knew it.
Yield, brother.
I yield.
Rupert stared down at him for a long moment, and then stepped back. He'd beaten his brother, just as he'd dreamed for so many years. But somehow, it didn't quite feel real yet. Harold rose painfully to his feet, his shield arm hanging limply at his side. His immaculate chain mail was scarred and bloodied, and he left his battered sword where it lay. Blood trickled unnoticed down his face as he smiled coldly.
I should have killed you years ago, Rupert. If by some miracle you survive the journey to the Dark Tower, don't come back. I won't make the mistake of fighting fair again.
I won. I won.
Never drop your guard, Rupert. You know better than that. Now get up.
No.
No? Giving up?
No. Just want to bring you down to my level.
Rupert's hand shot out, grabbing the champion's ankle.
All right. Now I can get up.
Not bad, boy.
Rupert's cheek burned, and he felt blood run down his face. But he smiled when the champion noticed his own armor. There was a gash across the side, and blood was seeping through.
Getting old, champion. There was a time you wouldn't have given me a chance to recover.
If this is what you want, I'm still good enough for you, boy. Come on, let's see what you can do.
The two fighters circled each other warily, and then came together in a flurry of steel too fast for the eye to follow. They sprang apart and circled each other again, their steel-clad boots striking sparks from the bare stone. Blood rilled down from a wide cut on Rupert's forehead, filling his eyes with crimson. The champion had another bloody rent in his chainmail. Rupert wiped blood from his eyes with the back of his hand and couldn't parry the champion's attack in time. Fresh blood trickled down Rupert's sword arm, making his grasp slippery. And so the fight went. Rupert used every trick he knew, all his strength and skill coming together in an exhibition of swordsmanship that had the guardsmen crying aloud in appreciation. Again and again he threw himself at the champion, his sword a bright blur on the still morning air as it rose and fell, rose and fell. Rupert gave everything he had, and it wasn't enough. He never stood a chance.
Sorry, sire, but you should have known better than to beat Harold in public. Next time you will know better. We ride in half an hour, sire. I expect you to be in your saddle and ready to leave. If you're not, I'll have you strapped to the unicorn.
Oh, Rupert! Oh, no, it's just me, Rupert. What have they done to you?
I wanted to win. Just once, I wanted to win. Help me up, will you?
Here, lean up against the wall. Let me clean you up.
A waste of a good silk handkerchief, that.
Who did this to you?
The champion. I shouldn't have turned my back on him.
I'll kill him!
No, don't even think of it, Julia. He wouldn't kill you, but he'd have no compunction about scarring you a little to teach you a lesson. You're good with a sword, lass, but I'm better, and he walked all over me and didn't even raise a sweat. Anyway, I'm not badly hurt, Julia, except in my pride. He was careful not to do any real damage. I should have known he wouldn't let me get away with beating Harold.
You beat Harold?
Yeah, I beat him. I did everything but sign my initials on him.
Oh, I'd love to have seen that.
Ooh, you're a bloodthirsty one, aren't you?
Only sometimes. Why did the champion attack you?
Partly to keep me in my place. Partly to undermine my authority with the guards. And partly because he has to prove he's still the best, even after all these years as champion. As he's got older, he's needed to prove it more and more.
I think I'll have a word with the dragon about this.
Thanks for the thought, but no. I want to beat him myself.
Can you stand?
Yeah, I'll be fine. Just can't move too quickly is all. Hurt worse in the dark wood, really.
Here's your sword back.
Oh, thanks.
What?
It's practically untouched. Harold's was so pitted and chipped by the time I was done with him, they'd be lucky to use it for scrap. But this sword looks brand new.
Except for the blood.
Except for the blood. Just another thing special about this sword.
Well, I hope it serves you well out there.
Thanks.
Rupert finally took his first good look at Julia. Somebody had clearly decided to take the young princess in hand. Julia now wore a long, flowing gown of midnight blue with gold and silver piping. Diamonds flashed from rings and bracelets and necklaces, and they'd taken away her sword. Her long blonde hair had been piled up on top of her head and carefully arranged in the latest high society style. Expertly applied cosmetics softened the harsh planes of her face without disguising them. All in all, Rupert thought she'd never looked lovelier, even though it was a totally unsuitable outfit for visiting a filthy courtyard at the break of dawn.
I like the dress.
I look like an idiot. All I need to finish the job is a cap and bells. The dress is too tight, my shoes are crippling me, and this damn hairdo is giving me a headache. What's more, the thick woolly underwear they force me to wear itches like crazy. You were going to sneak off without saying goodbye, weren't you?
I don't like goodbyes. They always seem so final.
Rupert, just how dangerous is this high warlock?
Very. The last messenger we sent him came back transformed.
Transformed? Into what?
We're not actually sure. Remember that thing you thought you saw in the moat?
The thing that ate the crocodiles?
Yeah, I think that's him.
And the high warlock's our only hope against the Darkwood?
Looks like it.
Then we're in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm. How are you getting on with Castle Society?
Settling in, slowly.
Hit anybody recently?
No one important.
Well, that's all right, then.
Rupert?
Julia, it's almost time to go.
Yes.
I'd take you with me if I could.
I understand.
Wait for me?
Of course. Do you still have my favor?
Of course. One battered and blood-stained handkerchief. My lady's favor. I wouldn't be parted from it for all the Forest Kingdom. Well, Julia, goodbye.
No, no goodbyes. Just come back safely, or I'll never forgive you.
He wished there was something else to say, but there wasn't. He put his hand over his heart as she walked away and felt the soft pressure of the handkerchief under his jerkin. It seemed the minstrels weren't always wrong, after all.